This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Sabrina, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury. It is time for Enterprise Biz Bites. I'm joined in the studio by... Oh, I should probably switch on your microphone, Arvind. That might help.
Try that again.
I am joined in the studio by...
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Jeff Sandhu.
What is wrong? It's Thursday. It is Tech Talk Thursday. One of those days, ladies and gentlemen. I do apologize for that. Right, stories on the lineup for today. We'll be starting off in just a couple of minutes with a self-driving shuttle in Las Vegas that's fallen into a bit of a mishap. Then we'll be talking about an electric vehicle of a different kind, something I'm really excited about. A robot speech simulator. This is some scary stuff. Arvind has a story about gene therapy technique that's gone on to save a young boy's life. And then we'll be wrapping up with NFC payments at the Winter Olympics. Jeff.
Yeah, so, well, I'll be heading to Las Vegas for Amazon's AWS event.
You see what he did there? Did you see that?
Later on this month. And Las Vegas, interestingly, is actually the first city in the U.S. to roll out an autonomous vehicle that is, you know, driving amongst, you know, rail cars. With people with, you know, just like every other person who's driving in a car.
I demand a video of that whilst you're there.
Yeah, so that's the first thing that when I saw this story, I'm like, oh, this is really cool because Las Vegas is the first city in U.S. to allow an autonomous vehicle to operate just like any other vehicle. So they have this self-driving shuttle services. And because Las Vegas is huge, it's a place that a lot of conferences happens in Las Vegas, and it's from on the strip itself. You know, MGM Grand and Mandalay Bay could be, you know, on the far south of Las Vegas, all the way down to Wynn, which is, you know, far north, and that stretch would probably be like about a 3 kilometer stretch, and in between you have so many ballrooms and conferences. And when I was there earlier this year, it's insane. So, you know, no brainer to have a self-driving shuttle service. So on the first day of them launching the first ever self-driving shuttle service, autonomous shuttle service, it met with an accident.
Oh no.
And everyone,
On the first day of operations,
it met with an accident. However, the good news is before you start saying, aha, I told you this autonomous vehicle thingy is not going to be, you know, something of the future. It's actually, the accident is the it's caused by a human. It's
of course
a human
it is.
Error.
We are fallible.
Yeah, so the shuttle is made by a French startup called Navia, and it's owned and operated by a French private transportation called Keolis, and it operates on a half mile loop around downtown Las Vegas, offering free rides to residents to, you know, different points of location. Within an hour of starting its new expanded operation, following a 2-week pilot test back in January, the shuttle hit the front of a large delivery truck as the human driver off that truck pulled out onto the street from a loading bay. So what happened in the news is that, and good thing is, no one got injured. The only thing that happened was just a minor scratch on its bumper. But the self-driving shuttle service actually detected there was this lorry that was coming in, and it stopped. However, the accident happened after this self-driving vehicle has stopped. The lorry driver continued on. And that's when, boom, accident, boom. The accident happened. It's just a minor knock, but still, you know, it's a knock, right?
Right.
And the shuttle service then, you know, the guys who were managing and operating the shuttle service was obviously around. You know, they then, you know, got the passengers off and they accessed the damage. It's nothing serious. It's just a minor scratch on the front bumper. None of the 8 passengers of the self-driving vehicle were injured. The driver of the truck also was not injured. So it's good news still. And I guess it goes to show that if you really want these autonomous vehicles to be in place, to be in the norm, you got to get rid of us. We are the problem here, not these autonomous vehicles. Because they were saying that if the truck has a sensor or like a, you know how these days some of the really expensive cars, they have this collision alert, right? So it brakes whenever it feels like you're going to knock into
apparently
something.
Apparently the new Myvi are going to have that.
Apparently the new Myvi is going to have a collision alert as well. So if the truck was equipped with some sort of sensor to allow the driver to know that you are about to hit something, it would have prevented the accident altogether. So, you know, in that sense, like, I think we can find a way where, you know, human drivers and autonomous vehicles can work together. But if the human driver, that car needs to be really smart. It needs to be one of those, you know, really super expensive cars. Mm-hmm. And hopefully the technology in those really super expensive cars will trickle down, which, like you mentioned, the Myvi seems to, you know, the new Myvi seems to have all of these things.
Do we think, though, that this might put some people off and we might get the whole backlash of, like, you see, we knew this was going to happen.
No, so only those who read the headlines would fall into, go, I see, I told you so. Like, you know, driving with a human is always better. It's always so more safer and all that. But that just kind of shows, you know, what kind of society we are. We just read headlines, but you don't read the, you know, the sub-headlines at least, right? Because the sub-headlines just shows that, surprise, it was the human's fault.
I've seen an awful lot of that. You know, people read the headlines, they retweet it, and you're like...
They post it on Facebook, they go on the long rant, and go like, buddy, did you actually read the article?
Did you read the article? Exactly.
It's like 99% of social media is just the headlines.
And WhatsApp groups. I'm sorry, Andy.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to move on to this story here. If you don't already know me, I'm a huge fan of anything made by Vespa, right? Mm. When I grew up, this was the thing that I used to ride around with on as a kid. This was my kampung plaything. It was an old Vespa, right? It was held together with string and tape and all kinds of stuff, but I loved it.
But it kind of died down, I think, in the later parts, like a few years ago.
Yeah.
Like it kind of died down. And then they tried to revive it
There's a whole bunch of new Vespas out there. You know, they're now fuel injected and they're supposed to be a lot more economical. However, they've just announced that they're working on an electric scooter. And today they've released a few specs and its approximate availability date. It's called the Vespa Elettrica. Not Electrica, but the Elettrica. It's silent. It's fully electric with acceleration capabilities in line with those of traditional scooters, according to Vespa, 62-mile range and can be fully charged in just 4 hours through a normal wall-mounted electrical socket. The battery will reportedly last around 10 years, but after 1,000 charges will drop down to about 80% or so. It comes in chrome gray so far, but you can choose between 7 other color options. They're also working on a hybrid version, the Elettrica X.
Speaking Italiano.
In Italiano, which can be driven twice as far as the fully electric version on a single charge. They're set for release sometime in 2008. Exact date and pricing hasn't been announced yet. But this is something that I'm very, very excited about, because I was very recently thinking about... I wanted to invest in one of two things. One was either an electric bicycle, not because I'm lazy, but I like the idea of them. And I had one in China, and it was very, very economical. It saved me a lot of time. But the prices of them here so far are outrageous for what they effectively do and for the range on them. But something like a Vespa coming along has suddenly made me go, oh, hang on a minute.
So 62-mile range is about 100 kilometers.
Yeah.
That's quite okay.
On one charge.
On one charge. And that's, for me, actually, the charging is more interesting.
Right.
Because you can charge it just through a normal wall-mounted electrical outlet, and it takes 4 hours.
Yes.
So that's good, because... You know, you would come back home at, say, let's say midnight, and by 4 a.m.
When you get your munchies that you want some nasi lemak.
Yeah, you would be able to. Yeah. It's a fully charged electric scooter that you can then use it for the full day.
Correct.
I doubt the average Malaysian travels 100 kilometers a day.
Right.
I live in Ampang, and we work here in Bandar Utama. In between, I do a bit of travel here and there. I only clock in at about, you know, 75 on average kilometers a day.
A day.
So that's okay, but I'm on the heavy side of usage, right?
But I mean, something like this is ideal for somebody like me who lives and works in this area. You know,
too lazy to walk.
You know how warm it is in the morning. Do you really want me walking through the door sweating like that?
You're right. Ideally, if I could cycle to work, if I live nearby, I would. But, you know, in Malaysian weather, I can't. Because, you know, one day it's just going to be rainy, like just massive downpour. The other day it's just going to be my shirt is a massive downpour.
Arvind Ubaraj, you've been very quiet. What's going on?
With the way the petrol price went up today, I think I have to cycle to work like tomorrow. I'm going to sell off my car.
Yeah. After the implementation of the weekly prizes. Yes,
right.
It's an all-time high.
So that was on Run 95 this morning.
Yes, yeah.
Hey, I
felt the pain.
I'm telling you guys, you know, get yourself one of these little Vespas. We can all be super cool coming to work. Mm-hmm.
I have to say, though, the Vespa that's on the photo here, which is, you know, it's a nice chrome, shiny Vespa all the way in, you know, black seat. And then it has that blue, electric blue lines that you see on all electric cars. Yeah. You know, they always have that blue.
They do. The Nissan Leaf was
the big thing, the BMWs. Yeah. Every single electric car has that blue.
I am waiting to see if Amy Search buys one of these, because Amy Search has a bunch of Vespas. If he can get his hands on
one, he's
a collector. Yeah,
he would definitely get one of these.
He's probably
then,
on the waiting list already. Amy, if you're listening, I want a free ride, please.
How much are the Vespas?
No price yet.
No, not for the electric ones, but for an average 125, you're looking at about 12,000 ringgit.
It's not too bad.
It's not too bad at all. You know, they're very economical. You can do. I sound like an advertisement now. They can go quite far, but you know, not that I'm trying to sell Vespas.
You don't get stuck in traffic.
You know.
Hey, so if the Piago group is listening now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or the NASA group, boys.
In
you know,
this electric thing, we've got a show, Tech Talk. I do reviews.
I do riding. All right, it's time for a break.
I'll do a review while you ride, and I'll do the review at the back.
That works for me. Right, we're going to take a short break. If you want to join the conversation, get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio, or you can get us on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. When we come back, something very interesting, a robot speech simulator that can allegedly imitate anyone's voice.
Makes you think I'm actually the one talking right now?
Oh. Dang, dang, dang. We can see him, that's why. Right, some falls coming up. It is Total Life Forever here on BFM 89.9.
Break from midfield. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Jeff Sandu,
Arvind Yiparaj.
See, I managed to get your microphone
right
this time.
It's perfect this time.
It's really good, right?
Sounds really good.
We've had stories so far about how a self-driving shuttle in Las Vegas got into an accident on its first day of service. We found out that it was not the fault of the self-driving shuttle.
It's the humans.
It's the humans. We then spoke about how Vespa will be launching an electric scooter sometime in 2008. If you are listening out there, we'd like to test drive this.
Yes.
Just, you know. Anyway, now, so tell us about this robot speech simulator.
Yeah, so a computer program that promises to be able to mimic any human voice after listening to a minute-long recording has prompted fears about the future of voice as a unique identifier. So this Canadian startup called Lyrebird has created a program that can emulate almost any human voice. I'm going to play you a clip that I managed to find here. So let's have a listen first and try to guess who this is.
This is an artificially generated voice by Lyrebird. It does not convey the opinion of Donald Trump.
I am Donald Trump. This is very, very important. And let me tell you, this year, I am coming to the ICLEAR conference. I have heard many, many things about this conference. It's a tremendous conference. I would like to meet the best researchers. Who wants to see me? I love you all. It's going to be huge. Believe me.
Mm. Wow.
Donald Trump and love child of Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, well, so we all can tell that, you know, it's obviously, you know, sounds like a computer that's speaking.
But for a minute's worth of...
But it only took a minute worth of recording to be able to make Donald Trump, you know, sound like this from what a computer would be. So it mimics, Lyrebird's AI can also create new sentences, which is something that has now caused like this whole uproar about, you know, voice being this unique identifier, because they want to make this program public. They want to make this software available to all people. And that's where it kind of, a lot of people are sort of, you know, up in arms about this whole thing, because there is danger when you have a program that can mimic someone's voice and make it say something that that person has never said it before, especially when it comes to, you know, global leaders like Donald Trump or any other person, you know, who sort of has power that could cause harm, I guess, you know. And we've seen this, like how, you know, I think the governor of Jakarta had, you know, a lot of issues surrounding this because the video has been edited to make him sound like he was saying something. It's already on the rise. Adobe last year, when they did their whole Adobe Max conference, they demonstrate how, you know, they could insert a word that was missed out in a sentence, but it sounds exactly like that person. And you can sort of, you know, shape shift it or voice shift it to different sentences. And it just kind of gives you that eerie feeling that, oh, you know, the next time you hear a video or a voice of someone, it may not be actually that person itself. It just could possibly be the AI.
I am not a robot. My intonation is always different.
Yes, his intonations is always different, but and then you switch it around, you think, oh yeah, you know, Donald Trump may be an easier person to sort of mimic, and what about, you know, other people? So maybe we'll try this other person instead.
I'm not a robot, my intonation is always different.
Oh. Yeah. Right. That's quite clever.
Yeah, so it could also do where AIs are having conversations among one another. And this is I'm not sure whether they key in specific words about what the AI should be talking about, or is it just like they give it a broader context and then they let these three AIs talk among themselves. But have a listen to this and see if like you could sort of make up what these three AIs are trying to talk to each other.
Hey, Donna, have you heard about this new technology?
Are you speaking about this new algorithm to copy voices?
Yes, it is developed by a startup called Lyrebird.
This is huge. They can make us say anything now, really anything.
The good news is that they will offer the technology to anyone.
This is huge. How does their technology work?
Hey, guys, I think that they use deep learning and artificial neural networks.
Hillary is right, and I can tell you that their team is great.
I wish them good luck. I'm sure they will do a good job.
Okay, so this is scary, right? I mean, I remember listening to the Adobe one and being incredibly impressed by it, but at the same time, absolutely terrified.
Yeah, I jumped off my seat.
Yeah, and, because, I mean, listening to that, we know listening here that we've taken that from a website, directly from a website. But if somebody were to play that somewhere else and broadcast it on a shortwave radio, you would not know that isn't actually recording. You know, it sounds like it's being broadcast from somewhere far away. And if you're picking it up somewhere like in Afghanistan or Syria or somewhere horrendous, you know.
This is also early stage, by the way, because is just like phase one. Phase two and phase three, or whenever they plan to launch this as public, it's not going to sound like that. It's going to sound exactly like how we sound right now. It's going to sound exactly like us, which is the scary thing, because this is obviously just to show the potential. Obviously, they can't, you know, in phase one, it can't sound perfect because that will just be ridiculous. It'll be the perfect startup ever. But this is phase one, and they're showing, like, you know, this is what we are able to show in the near future.
I mean, Arvin, you were telling me, was it yesterday or something, about how your bank had asked you to call and leave a voice memo so they can identify that it's you from your distinct voice.
When I called in to check about something, so they asked me to set up my voice recognition service. So they asked me to record my voice, and then I had to do it again, and then it completely configured it for me. So the next time I call in, I just have to give them my voice, like speak like a password or something, and then they know it's me.
Something like this has ruined that immediately.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
all they have to do is listen to you on the radio for a minute, record your voice, you know, check out your bank card number, which is out there.
So what they say is that they feel that by making this public, they hope that, you know, they would have made the public be aware of such abilities exist, and that you should not fall for any form, or you should not believe in any form of audio recordings, and that, you know, they hope that we should stop relying on audio recording as evidence. You can't use audio recordings as evidence anymore once this becomes publicly available. They are obviously looking at it from the positive side of things. They're looking at how, you know, it could help people with speech problems, or people with even with some hearing difficulties, or just, you know, for learning purposes. This is more for, they're looking at it on the positive side of things.
Right.
But you can't ignore how these can affect the entire sort of industries, everything, if it falls into the wrong hands. Like, this could start war if it falls into the wrong hands. I just remember watching yesterday, I was watching The Verge. They had this whole new series on the future of science, and they were doing this show about, you know, holographic, recording people in a holographic world. And you get a 360 view of this entire human that's recorded now, and, you know, hopefully later on in the future, you'll be able to sort of just, you know, relive that moment that you you had with that person when the person was 18 or 19 or whenever you record that person. And the next step these guys were talking about is this startup in US. They're talking about the next step is to actually get this AI, this holographic AI, to be its own person, to have its own identity based on, you know, the real person itself, you know, have its own voice based on the real person itself, and is able to then have a normal conversation instead of just a holographic conversation. Because right now, you record like four types of questions you can ask and that's it. But they're looking into the future where you could just practically ask anything, even though the real human being had never recorded that part of the sentence or that part of the thing. The AI is able to sort of think what you would be able to say or what you would be able to think in your thought process, and then it gives out that information just like how you would as well. So that itself just gives you goosebumps, because we've seen this in movies.
Blade Runner
2049.
Yeah.
It's you know, it's an holographic, you know, AI person that has this, you know, whole sort of life of its own, and then sort of ponders about, you know, what if, you know, you could live the AI, I'm talking here, what if the AI could live without having that device that is, you know, locking you down into that certain area, and then you sort of can expand the world, and then you just sort of create a human being itself. So, you know, it's far-fetched. Yeah, I get it, but it's happening.
This is far-fetched. I mean, yeah, the voice thing itself, but then it's happening now.
It's happening, yeah. So if you don't see it happening, God, like, please wake up and see this. And I'm not saying that, you know, oh, you should stop your cars and, you know, get out and start protesting. No, just don't believe what you see and what you hear in the near future, which is scary. Because previously we was like, oh, don't believe until you see it or hear it. In the future,
that's not going to matter.
That's not going to matter as well.
Right. On that note, let's take a break, shall we? Whilst I ponder my future. Ladies and gents, we've got some music coming up from John Lee Hooker with Money. That's What I Want coming up in just a sec. If you want to get in touch with us, get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Let us know your thoughts. You know, are you scared of this whole, artificial intelligence and them taking over and being able to speak on our behalf perhaps in the future? That's a terrifying prospect.
And only a minute. I think that's only a minute
sample. That's what
yeah.
scares me more than yep, anything. Yep, yep. You know, the Adobe one, you had to feed it with hundreds and hundreds of hours of data. For
yeah,
1 minute, it can
smarter.
Do that?
Yeah.
That's scary. Okay, music. John Lee Hooker here on BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back, ladies and gents, to Enterprise BizBytes. Had stories so far about a self-driving shuttle in Las Vegas, a Vespa's first electric scooter. Jeff scared us to half to death about a robot speech simulator that can imitate anyone's voice. Now Arvin is going to give us some hope with some gene therapy techniques, a new one.
I'm going to talk about creating skin.
I said hope.
Okay. It is a good story. It's
come on then, come
hope.
On then.
Yeah, so these doctors in Europe, they use gene therapy to grow skin grafts for burn victims. So what they were able to do is they took small samples from these victims, and then they were able to create skin in their labs, like a lot of it also. And then they actually tested it on this one boy. So there was this young kid. He had a rare genetic skin disorder who is alive and well 2 years after this technique was used to replace 9 square feet of his skin.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's a lot. The boy had junctional epidermolysis bullosa, a disease that can take different forms depending on the specific gene mutation. So what they're saying is they can do this for some conditions. They can't do it for all because they don't know how the sickness is going to show up or how it works for different kinds of patients. But it worked on this boy, and he was not supposed to survive more than a few months after he was diagnosed. It's been 2 years, and he's okay. He woke up and then he saw that he has new skin. They were able to create new skin for him. Wow. They want to use this for burn victims especially because they are the hardest ones to create skin for after you get like second or third degree burns.
Yeah.
So according to the New York Times, the new treatment can only help some of them, like I said, because of the way the disease shows up. The boy was treated with the technique... Dr. Michelle DeLuca, she's the one behind this whole technique, right? She's from a university in Italy. She was able to take a small sample of the boy's skin, just more than half a square inch, And then she was able to use a virus to insert the non-mutated form of the responsible gene into his DNA.
This sounds like CRISPR, doesn't it? This has got CRISPR written all over it.
Yeah, CRISPR.
So the thing is, the boy couldn't be awake when they were doing this because it's a very painful process. Yeah, so it took an 8-month stay in the hospital. And then the boy was in a coma for 4 months. And it was an induced coma because they didn't want him to feel any pain. So he had to be in an induced coma for 4 whole months while they stuck the skin on him. And then when he woke up, he just realized that he had new skin.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this sounds like something out of a horror movie almost. But, you know, to be able to wake up knowing that you've got, you know, brand new skin and it's been one of your major issues has been solved.
One is, the kid's obviously has a new life again in that sense. Yeah. But the other thing is his state of mind would be so confusing for the little boy. Like, you know, 8 months stay in the hospital. You in that part of the 8 months, you were 4 months in induced coma, and you wake up and you realize.
Do we know how old this kid was?
No, they don't say. They just say he was a. They just say young boy.
Right. I think it's just for privacy purposes and all. But wow, I feel sorry for the kid, man. Good on technology for doing this, but wow, it's.
It makes you wonder, though. You know, if you were a parent. And a doctor comes to you and they say, you know, we have this new potential new tech, but we have to have your son in hospital for 8 months and he has to be in a coma for 3 months and we don't know if it's going to work. But
you'd still take it, though.
Would
right?
you?
You'd still take it, though, because, you know, if there's any possibility in saving the life of someone, you would take it, right?
For sure, I would. Yeah, I mean, I know I would.
It only comes down to like to what degree of life we're saving here. I know of sometimes when even if you save a life and the person does not have the ability to live on its own and is still crippled by something, and then it's a lot harder kind of a decision to make. But you would still lean on saving the life, because it's human instinct. It's our nature itself. Yeah. It's not just humans, but even animals. When we look at a cat or we look at a dog at the side of the road, and unfortunately sometimes you hit one of them, and when you see the carcass on the side of the road, you feel that. I don't know how to explain it, but you just feel it. Like you just go, ooh,
right.
It's kind of an uncomfortable,
very uncomfortable feeling. Yeah, because death is just something that's just.
We don't want to have to deal with death. That's the be all and end all, right?
And if technology could help you, with things like this, then great. And don't forget that Google is also trying to look into for that pill that you could take that could make you live forever.
I don't know if I'd want that.
That's just way too much.
Then I'd have to put up with you forever as well. That's an awful lot to deal with. But 8 years so far we've been friends. It's been good.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I could deal with a lifetime of that. But no, you were saying that it affects this disease that this poor fella, this poor kid had, affects 25,000 people in the US, 500,000 people around the world.
Yeah, so it is, rare. I mean, it still is rare. 500,000 people is not a big number compared to, the population, right? But you were saying that whether the parents want to put him in, 8 months and then another 4 months, I think they would, because his only other option was death. The doctors say that he was going to die. He was not supposed to live past, a few months because of this condition. So it's either that or, 8 months in the hospital, 4 months in a coma, no pain, and then he wakes up and it works. There's a chance of it working. So
it's it is brilliant though.
Yeah.
What a breakthrough that is. Mm-hmm. All right. What was the doctor's name?
Michelle De Luca. Director of Center for Regenerative Medicine Stefano Ferrari at the University of Modena in Italy.
Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Right. Time for a short break. Some music coming up. Gary Clark Jr. with Next Door Neighborhood Blues. When we come back.
I've not heard this one. Can't wait.
You behave yourself. When we come back, a little story from Visa. Do not go anywhere. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. Final story of the day. Anybody here in this room heading over to the Winter Olympic Games in February? No?
No? Yeah. Who knows?
Wow. Who knows?
Who
right?
knows?
Anyway, okay.
I like his answer.
Yeah. So one of my big issues, I mean, obviously I'm from the UK, and as you know, it gets very cold over in the UK, and we all nowadays use these stupid touchscreen smartphones, right?
Mm. Yeah.
What is a big issue when you wear gloves and you want to use your smartphone?
But unless you're not, unless you're using one of those, like, you know, normal gloves, mm-hmm. or not the tech gloves.
Yes.
You can't use
correct,
it
right?
your foot at all.
So I bought myself a pair of those tech gloves.
Yeah.
Inadvertently, actually, I walked into a store, picked up a pair of gloves, walked out, and picked up my phone. I'm like, how come I can use... Oh, these are smart gloves.
Smart gloves.
Okay, moving on from a little bit of that, but a related kind of thing. Mm. Visa have done this very smart thing. Obviously, we know they have a lot of tap-to-pay kind of technology. Mm. Your cards and tags and one thing.
Wave and stuff.
Wave and... Yeah. So they've brought out a whole bunch of NFC-equipped gadgets to help whilst shopping, very smart, mm-hmm. at the Pyeongchang Olympic Games. Mm. Most notably, a set of winter gloves. You can pay for your souvenir without even freezing your hands as you reach for your credit card or even your phone. All you do is you wave your glove at the tap to pay part and it deducts it from your account. You can put prepaid values of up to $27 all the way up to $45. So that's for the gloves. They've also got lapel pins that also come preloaded with a certain amount of cash.
Okay, that's clever.
They've got flexible NFC stickers that you can put pretty much anywhere, which have values all the way up to $180 US dollars. And you might want a whole bunch of these kind of things. You know, I think it's pretty cool that we're moving away from the traditional just you know wave a card and you could just have it on pretty much anything. You know, the idea that Visa have gone, it's a winter games, people mm-hmm. do not want to put, you know, pull their gloves off, or they don't want to put their hands in their pockets to tap for anything. Just wave your glove.
See, okay, correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
But when so this is to buy things off.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
So to buy things,
yes,
you would be in a store.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay.
Wait, let me see where you're going. Now, the store, is the store out in the open without any roof that you are freezing cold?
Okay, okay.
That you actually can't take off your gloves that you got to use? Or is the store indoors that has, you know, heated ventilation system
right,
that you
right.
would most likely be have to take off your jacket? And
I would like to take a leap into the imagination, right, and pretend just for a moment.
But while skiing?
While skiing, that there
like
are some
stores
outside built out of mountains of ice, right? Just for a moment.
And you just pick up an M&M's?
You pick up.
You swipe.
But I mean, okay, let's look at it a different way. Have you ever seen images of the Harbin Ice Festival in
yes,
China?
I have.
Right,
yes,
okay.
I have.
So mm. imagine that, but in Korea. Mm. Right? Are you following me right now?
Yeah,
for those of you don't know, the Harbin Ice Festival is it's a huge festival of ice sculptures
just
where they have stores.
Everything made of ice. Yeah.
Everything is made of ice. Mm. So I assume, Jeff, I see your point, and you know, and I'm sure.
I'm just thinking.
I'm sure
like,
there's currently a
know,
Visa executive going. Have we thought this all the way through?
I'm very sure. You know, it's smart that you know because we have gloves like we mentioned at the start of it. We have gloves that you can now use on your smartphone. Your smartphone has this option for extra sensitivity that you can use some of these certain smart gloves.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's great because sometimes when you're out and you're walking, you know, from your home to the subway station, you'll be freezing cold and you would need to text someone. I get that gloves. But for a gloves to have an NFC chip enabled so that you can swipe it across the cashier, is this cashier in the middle of the street here? Like that
maybe
is, like wow,
maybe.
Okay. Well.
I don't know. I mean, like Alvin says, we none of us even know because we're a maybe as to where we're going.
That's
they could well be. Mm.
All right, cool.
This could be the whole part of Visa's little strategy. Is like, you know what? We have this idea. We're going to do this idea, but your stores have to be outside.
And then the poor chap who's you know being the cashier's got.
He's going to be waving his little flag, going, "Look at me! I'm at the Olympic Games." He's
with
not going to
Visa logo
with his Visa logo, of
his
course.
His face is just going to be blue.
All right, enough stories for today. It's been a whole bunch of fun, of course, with Arvin Yuvraj and Jeff Sandu. The stories we had today, we started off, Jeff, with...
Yeah, so a self-driving shuttle in Las Vegas got into service on its first day and it got into an accident. But it's the human's fault. It's the lorry driver that knocked this self-driving vehicle, not autonomous vehicle.
Yep, we then spoke excited about how Vespa will be releasing a electric scooter sometime in 2008.
Yeah, and then
2018.
We've traveled.
Whoops.
And of course, we talked about a robot speech simulator. It's called Liar Bird, that can imitate anyone's voice.
It sounds a little bit like this. Just play this.
I am not a robot. My intonation's always different.
I dispute that. Mm-hmm. I dispute that. He is a robot.
Yeah.
Then we moved on to...
We spoke about new gene therapy technique that saved a boy's life by growing new skin.
And then, of course, the genius idea Visa introducing NFC gloves for the Winter Olympics over in South Korea in 2018. Anyway, do not go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Bilateral relations between Ecuador and Malaysia, first established in 1994, can be described as friendly, with a focus on trade relations. The Breakfast Grill spoke to Her Excellency Laura Raquel Donoso Gonzalez, the ambassador of Ecuador to Malaysia, on the present relationship and untapped potential in economic and cultural ties between the two countries. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. In the meantime, though, some music coming up from television. This is Glory. You have been listening to Enterprise BizBytes here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.